with the first verse. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, this verse is all that some people know about Job's character. He was perfect and upright, feared God and eschewed evil. Perfect does not mean flawless, but rather complete or mature. He reverenced God and eschewed, the Hebrew word is sur, it's spelled C-U-W-R, and he eschewed or soared evil. That gives us a picture of a man who had a relationship with God to the degree that when he was presented with an opportunity to do evil or sin, he turned away from it and avoided it. That's what it means to eschew evil, to do a 180 and go the other way. The only other thing that most people know about Job is how rich he was. Notice verse 3, Job chapter 1, verse 3. It says, his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. This man was perhaps the wealthiest man of ancient times. That's about all that most people know about Job. But the scriptures tell us much more about his character and his influence. Now, if you would, notice Job chapter 29. I'm going to read quite a bit of this conversation here. Job chapter 29, beginning with verse 7. Watch this. You'll learn some things about Job. He said, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves. The aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was about or ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. Verse 16, I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not I searched out. And I broke the jaw of the wicked, and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Notice verse 21. Unto me men gave ear, and waited, and kept silence at my counsel. After my words, they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. If I laughed on them, they believed it not, and the light of my countenance they cast not down. I chose out their way, and sat chief, and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforts the mourners. Now, here's what I want you to see from this passage in Job 29. Job was not only wealthy, but a man of tremendous influence in his community. He tells us why, beginning in verse 12. He said, because I delivered the poor and the fatherless and those who had none to help. In verse 15, he declares he was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. In verse 16, he was a father to the poor. Verse 21 tells us that Job's influence was so great that when he spoke, men kept silence and listened intently to his counsel. He was sort of like that old E.F. Hutton commercial. If you're old enough to remember that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He directed the path that people took in life and was so highly regarded in his community that he was like royalty. That tells us a lot about the man Job, but there's more we need to know. Notice Job chapter 31. Job 31, we'll begin at verse 1. There again, I'm going to read a lot of the discussion. Job 31, 1. This is what Job said. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot has hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know my integrity. Notice verse 7. If my step has turned out of the way, or my heart walked after my eyes, or if any blot has cleaved to my hands, then let me sow and another eat. Yea, let my offspring be rooted out. Verse 9. If my heart has been deceived by a woman, or if I've laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down upon her. For this is a heinous crime, yea, it's an iniquity to be punished by the judges. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction, and would root out all mine increase. You know, Job knew some things about God and the penalty for sin. Anyway, that's another subject. Verse 13, if I did despise the cause of my manservant or my maidservant when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God rises up? And when he visits, what shall I answer him? Did not he that made me in the womb make him, and did not one fashion us in the womb? If I've withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless have not eaten thereof, for from my youth he was brought up with me as a father, and I have guided her from my mother's womb. Verse 19, if I've seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his loins have not been blessed by me, and if he were not warmed with the fleece of my sheep. Now, we're seeing more about Job's character in these verses. He was not only a man of great wealth and influence, but he was a man of character and integrity. His life was based on principle. That is precisely why he was so wealthy. He was blessed by God because of his actions. Now, here's something that most people don't know. There were no homeless people in Job's hometown. There were none that went without food in Job's hometown. Now, let's see some more things people don't know about Job. We're still in Job chapter 31. I'm going to pick up at verse 24. He said, if I have made gold my hope, or have said to find gold, you're my confidence, if I've rejoiced because my wealth was great and because mine hand had gotten much, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart has been secretly enticed, or my mouth has kissed my hand, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. If I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him, neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. If the men of my tabernacle said not, oh, that we had of his flesh, we cannot be satisfied. The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. Now, Job was one of those rare individuals who not only was blessed, but remembered God who had blessed him. He walked in integrity and character. He had compassion for those who had need, and he ministered to them. His lifestyle was such that people admired him and sought him out for counsel and direction. He knew where his blessing came from and always acknowledged God, not just with lip service, but also with his lifestyle and his actions. Are you beginning to see Job in a little different light? Do you know some things about this man that perhaps you didn't know before? Most folk who read the book of Job never realize these things about this man because they get so bummed out reading about the tragedy that struck his life. For most Christians, all they know about Job is what they heard some preacher say about him, while he was taking some scripture out of its context. There's a lot in this story you'll not understand until you finish the book. You will not understand the truth about what really happened here if you only read the first 3 or 4 chapters. It's almost like going to a good movie that's a mystery. You don't get it in the first 10 minutes. The plot has twists and turns, and normally you find out at the end of the movie who the real bad guy is. Well, let's begin to find out what really happened to Job. We're obviously going to go over into our next lesson to finish this, but at least we'll get started with some other things that you need to know about Job. Now, let's look at chapter 1, Job chapter 1. We'll begin with verse 6. It says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil." We're going to highlight some important facts you need to know. First of all, we see in this passage that Satan had a very focused interest in Job. After understanding a little more about his life and character, I think we can see why. There was nobody on the earth like this man. Now here in verse 6, we see that there was a day when the angels, and that is a reference to the sons of God, that is, that's a reference to the angels, presented themselves before the Lord, and Satan was among them. Now, here's a phrase that we need to understand. When God said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" That question reveals a lot about why Satan was there in the first place. The phrase in Hebrew is alsum leb, alsum leb. And this phrase literally means to set your heart upon. When Satan appeared in the midst of the other angels before God, he had already drawn a big red bullseye, so to speak, and Job was in the crosshairs. Satan had already set his heart upon Job long before he showed up in God's presence that day. Now, many have read these verses and come away with the impression that God and Satan were sort of playing parlor games, so to speak, with Job and his life. That is not the case. God knew exactly what Satan's purpose was that day. Job exemplified everything that Satan hated: godliness, character, integrity, a reverence for the things of God, a compassion for those less fortunate, fairness and honesty in business affairs, godly influence in the lives of people and the community, and more. Job was influencing multitudes in a godly and powerful way. Satan had one purpose in mind: destroy Job and his godly influence in the community. I remember years ago, I read over some theology textbooks that I picked up at St. Louis University. These theology textbooks were all on the subject of good and evil. Most of them got hung up on the book of Job. I could tell you that the writers struggled with this account of what happened to Job, and some came away with the conclusion that God has an evil twin who is equal in power, named Satan. God is good, but uses Satan to do evil, and somehow, in the great cosmic beyond, it all balances out. Well, I guess they didn't read the book, the end of the book either. God does not have an evil twin. In fact, the Bible declares something completely different about Satan. Here's a passage that you may not be aware of, but write this down, or if you have a moment, turn to it. Ezekiel chapter 28. And this is something that Ezekiel says and addresses Satan by the Holy Spirit. And he says some things that we need to know. Ezekiel chapter 28, beginning with verse 14. Notice what it says. "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and you've walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of your merchandise they have filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the holy, or out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings, that they may behold thee. Now, Satan was cast down because of iniquity, and God does not employ him anymore. God does not use the devil or evil for his purpose and plan. The interesting thing about the book of Job is that I can show you God's will concerning suffering and affliction from this one book. You know, it's easy to refer to the New Testament or other Old Testament passages to bring or bear truth upon the subject, but I can prove to you just from the book of Job, God's will concerning suffering and affliction. It is an amazing book, but you gotta read the whole thing. Now, it'll amaze you when you realize what really happened to Job. And this is right where we're gonna pick up the study next week. So you've gotta tune in, man, because you can't miss this. I can't leave you hanging like this. This is sort of like that mystery movie I talked about. You know, we're only halfway through, so don't quit now. If you quit now, you'll never know what really happened to Job. And I guess it is probably, and I think I'm probably correct in saying this, other than the book of Revelation, which is in the New Testament, obviously, it is probably the most misunderstood book in the Bible, bar none. The most misunderstood book. But if you read the whole thing, you'll find out exactly what happened to Job. It's no great mystery. That's why the scripture was written, so that we could read it, study it, and know for ourselves and apply the truth that we find. As I mentioned, those theology texts that I read from St. Louis University years ago, all of these theologians were bouncing around in their head, you know, why bad things happen, you know. If God is God, why were there tsunamis? Why was there a hurricane? Why are there earthquakes? Why is there death? These are things that we need to understand, and the answers are clearly taught in the scripture. But these theologians, man, I tell you what, they read the book of Job and their brain goes tilt. It blows their mind. Well, we're going to pick this study up next week, and we're going to lay out, we're going to get into the Word, and I'm going to lay out and show you what really happened to Job. And this does have bearing on us living long and living strong. So we're going to pick up this study right here next week. So you've got to tune in as we continue our study, Healing and Health, Living Long, Living Strong.